Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the evening service here of day two of the Minister's Convention at Grace Ranch. And let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Father, we thank you very much for bringing us here together. And Lord, may that hunger indeed be stirred up in us. And Lord, you know, it says that the truth shall make us free. And I just pray, Lord, that your truth, your word, which is truth, will come forth mightily with power to set us free and jettison us forward. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We sang that song, A Hunger in My Heart. And it says that you can make it tender again with your love. It's an amazing thing. Have a tender heart, huh? I wanted to go to Matthew. Matthew, in the mic. Matthew 5, verse 8, the Beatitudes. There's been a lot of talk about love. And, you know, Jesus says that I will know you for your love one for another. But verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to have a pure heart. That song says Jesus can help me get it. And a good check for that are my actions and my words giving out God's love? Am I speaking God's love to people? For they shall see God. And Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, that see is to know. I want to know God. I think everybody in here wants to know God. But there's one way to God, right? Through Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Again, I'd like to be a child of God. And that peace is bringing the gospel, Jesus, to others, where they have salvation now. You give them the opportunity. It's what we're all called to do, go out and preach the gospel. And I know it was said over there one evening that, you know, I don't have anybody in Georgia come. Apparently, I'm not given the right gospel. I got a lot of work to do. But I want to change that. And I want to be a light, as it says down in about the salt and the light at 13 through 16. I want to be that light that's sitting on the hill. That giveth light unto all that are in the house and all that would come. So I need to change my heart. Amen.
Thanks. There's this verse that's been rattling around in that empty space between my ears. I will speak up. My apologies. I have an inherent flaw. And that is, I always seek approval. And I seek approval in all the wrong places. And that gets me in a whole world of trouble. It gets me going in directions that are contrary to where the Lord would have me. It gets me preoccupied with things I don't need to be doing. And the important people, the people I really want to be happy with me, never seem to be happy with me. And it just does. Everybody else is happy. It's because I've been operating out of bounds. So get in bounds. It's not hard. Amen? And this one verse has been sort of rattling around in there, and I went and looked it up before the service, and I looked at the whole chapter, and I said, "Ooh, this sort of fits in where we've been." So praise God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Okay, so Romans chapter 13 is about church authority. It's about heavenly authority. It has nothing to do with civil authority. We have talked about that a lot. We don't need to go through that again. But let's look at this, especially as we sort of meditate on what we read about Joshua and the people and their commitment to him and that line of authority. This is a New Testament look at authority and how serious it is. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. These are our ministers. These are those apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. These are our disciples that we submit ourselves to. Amen? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves what? Damnation. Now, if that doesn't send a chill, you know, like ice water down your back, I don't know what would. I have resisted the power. I have stood in resistance of the power at times for years. That ought not be. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt receive praise of the same. And this is the verse that sort of rattles around my head. If I want to receive praise of my authority, what do I need to do? That which is good. Not rocket science. But you have to seek approval in the right place. Now, I know if I set Jesus as my cornerstone of my life, of my priorities, that I will be pleasing to those people I care most about, my dad being the biggest one. Now, if you find yourself in a place where you're not seeing that, that should be a red flag. It means you may not be oriented in the right direction. You may not have your priorities in the right place. You may be operating out of bounds. The key is that get in bounds. Amen? Change direction. Change course. We have vehicles. They have this round thing in the front of them. And if you're heading towards a tree, you can turn that round thing and the car moves. It's an amazing thing. They built this course correction device into this vehicle so we can point it in the right direction, right? Well, our will sometimes can be like a runaway car. We need to apply the brake, orient it in the right direction, and get headed in the right direction. It's not actually, what's the right word? It's only as hard as we make it. It's only as difficult as we make it. You know, if we are bound and determined to swim upstream, we're going to get really, really tired. And that, what I mean by that is fighting against God's will. But if we just turn around and go with His will, where's the fight? Then now all the energy you expend accelerates you towards that mark rather than slowing you down from getting there. Amen? I'm going to keep reading a little bit more because this talks about that minister that God's given us. Now he says here, just back up for a minute, for rulers are not a terror to good works but to the evil. Well, let's move on. Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for what? Good. Does God give us these authorities? Does he give us these ministers because he hates us? No, it's for our good. When we talk about perspective, or when I talk about perspective, it's always remembering that when I'm getting corrected or I'm receiving an admonition or I'm receiving that sort of adjustment to my course, it's not because God just is up there with a big meanie with a magnifying glass burning little ants here on earth. No, he cares about me and he doesn't want me to go the wrong direction. It's for my good. Does that mean I like it? Sometimes, most of the time, no. It means I got to change what I thought I would need to be doing. And sometimes I don't want to. But then I have to want to. And when I want to, it gets better. All right. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now here's the thing. We're either going to walk in faith, good, or we're going to walk in unbelief, evil. Right? I don't see any differences here. I mean, I don't see shades here. There's do that which is, you're either doing that which is good, or you're doing that which is evil. And if you're doing that which is good, praise God. And if you're doing that which is evil, stop and start doing that which is good, else the sword's coming. Right? Okay. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I'm just going to zip down through some of this other stuff to get to the end. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What have we been learning about? That complete commitment to the work of the Lord and obedience to his line of authority in love. Right? For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, listen to this part, and that, knowing the time, that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What's another point we've been talking about this week? We are at a pivotal point in history. Amen? We are at a tipping point where those that are called to operate in the authority and power and anointing of God are going to do it, and there's going to be a great revival and deliverance and a resurgence of love towards Christ, or we're not going to do it. And the end will be at hand. We're right there. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This is again sort of a encapsulating several different services we've talked about. It's so critical. We get this. We finally get it. We've heard it and heard it and heard it. We really got to get it this time. We really got to walk in it this time.
We'll play another song.
Freedom. In C. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you guys hear the words to that song? Did it say, I'm in bondage? Does that sound like something you want to dance about? It says, I'm free. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, when I was preaching earlier today, I talked a little bit about who cares what you're like? It really doesn't matter. And all the different stupid stuff we've done, none of that matters. We actually become prisoners of our own memories of what numbskulls we have been. And that's not what the Lord wants us to walk in. That's not walking forward in Him. I mean, if you got your eyes on Him, think of Peter getting out of the boat. Remember Peter getting out of the boat? He sees Jesus walking along. And he says, if that be you, Lord, because, I mean, he had never seen anybody walk on water before. He thought maybe it was a spirit. He said, if it be thee, bid me come unto thee. And he said, come. And Peter started doing what? Walking on water. See, when we have our eyes on the Lord and what He can do, then what can we not do? And the shortcomings and all of our frailties and all of this stupidity of the last few minutes or yesterday doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're putting way too much value on things that don't matter. They don't matter to the Lord. They shouldn't matter to you. Can you do anything about them anyways? You can't do anything about them. So just take His extended hand and go forth. Did Peter make it all the way to Jesus walking on water? No, he started listening to the congregation in the boat. Who does he think he is? Look at him. Stuff like that. All the guys who were like not willing to try and walk on water. And he heard and he began to sink. And what happened? Did the Lord say, die? He didn't remember. I mean, yesterday I was talking about all those stupid things I did, driving in the snow and doing all those things. I could have died very easily. I could have been another one of those statistics you read about highway accidents and people traveling too fast in conditions they shouldn't. But the Lord in His grace covered me, right? He covered me. He wants to cover you. He wants to cover you. He wants you to step out. He wants you to believe the words of the very songs you sing and to just go forward in them. It really does not have to be that difficult. Have you not seen people here do it? I mean, they're not showing you these things that they can be a magician and make lots of money, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious none of us are making a lot of money here. So we must be either very bad magicians or you're just not looking at it correctly. See, people are talking to me about different things. And one of the things I think people miss is that how many people come to this convention looking for how they can serve? Or are you coming here because like going to a restaurant and you're expecting to be served? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if your life is one of constantly expecting to be served, you are never going to experience the joy of the Lord. You're never going to experience the love of God because the love of God inhabits love. And love is about service. That's what it's about. Ricky was reading over here in Romans. Oops, and I'm in John, so I'm not looking at where Ricky was reading, so put that one over here. Maybe I can find it in this one. I can read this one easier anyways. But if you noticed a couple things over there in Romans about these powers. Here we go, Romans 13. There we are. If you look over here in verse 6 for a moment, it said, for this cause pay ye tribute also. for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Now that tribute means money. It means your tithe. And you pay it to them. You pay it to them faithfully. Why? Because they are attending continually upon this very thing. They're the ones who have to watch for your souls as though that must give account. It's your fault if you then don't take advantage of their services. I don't know about you, but I mean, the idea of paying for something and getting nothing is an offense to me. If I'm paying for something, I figure I ought to get something for it, right? And the idea that they're continually, I mean, do you actually realize that? Do you realize, I mean, like when we're sitting out here in the camp and listening to people talk, and people come up and talk to Davey and different things are said and observes different things that are going on, do you have any idea of that when these things are observed, what happens between that minister and the Lord? I mean, how much do you take responsibility for what goes on out here? How much do you take responsibility for what goes on tonight in this meeting? You know, I mean, when you go into a ministerial situation, how much do you take responsibility for being ready to contribute to the ministry, to the people who are there before you? Because that's what shows your love. That's what really shows it. And when you see different things, I mean, just so you know, Tristan, I'd seen something a couple days ago with respect to you, and I was flummoxed. I was like, I have no idea what to do about that situation. And praise God, I just lifted it up to the Lord, as I know others have. Don't get me wrong, it's not about me. And I got to be a witness to a beautiful thing. Lord's far bigger than me. I didn't have to know anything. That's great. But I got to bear witness to a mighty move of the Lord on behalf of somebody who I love and want to see go forward. And that's awesome. But how much do you see the different things, the problems, the issues, the other things that other folks are going through, and how much do you take the time to actually think on those things, lift those things up to the Lord? See, and offer yourself up unto the Lord that you could be of service in some way. But to say, owe no man anything but what? To love one another. That's speaking of you. Well, you can love one another, but you can't love another if you're paying, if all of your attention is focused on yourself and what you're going through. And one of the things you're going to find as you go forward is there's never going to be a shortage of things you're going through. I have never found there to be a shortage of things I'm going through. It seems like as soon as I finish the last things, more things show up on my doorstep. Hadn't even considered when I was going through the other stuff. But all of a sudden it's there. So what? So what? So you got to learn to embrace that life of the Lord, because that is that life of the Lord. It's about others before yourself. It's about being inconvenienced. It's about not knowing what you're going to do, not knowing how you're going to answer, not knowing how you're going to do just about anything that you're supposed to do. Anybody ever feel that way? Like, I just don't know how to do it. Who cares? The fact of the matter is, he knows. He knows. I mean, if I was to give you my prayer life with the Lord and break it down to what his answer probably to me 99% of the time is, you know what his answer to like 99% of my prayers are? What's that? No. No, it's always the same. Trust me. But wait, I always loved with Moses, he's out there on the mount. How am I supposed to believe all these things are going to happen? Well, you're going to come worship me on the mount here. after all the things happened. That doesn't mean anything to me. How do I go talk to Pharaoh? Don't worry about that. Are you before Pharaoh yet? But how am I then supposed to get him out? That's like day 27, dummy. I mean, all you need to know today is how to point yourself towards Egypt and go over there, right? And in case you forgot, I sent your brother Aaron to come out to you. And since you can't seem to talk, I understand he can, and he's coming from Egypt. He probably even knows the way, just in case you forgot. You see what I'm saying? When you step out in faith, trust in God, God moves. And the answer to me in all of those prayers, it's like, I got something that's going on that I just don't know how to do. And honestly, I didn't know that it was possible to be an attorney for 24 years and seem to almost never do the same thing twice, so I actually know what I'm supposed to do the next time I get it. And when I do get to do the second thing again, it's like 14 years before, and I can't even remember how to do it. I had to do it, 2 appeals to the Supreme Court, like 22 years apart. They had even changed the rules. I couldn't even use my stinking research from before. It was terrible. So I had to start all over again, not knowing what to do, which is just how I did it the previous time. And the fact of the matter is, you can sit back in fear and terror and every other thing, and honestly, that stinks. I mean, that's like the worst place to be. Because then the enemy's got the upper hand and you're cowering in the trenches. And when you got your head down cowering in the trenches, I haven't ever seen a battle that gets won that way. I know, Scott, you're in the military. I mean, you had to study it. Any battle ever get won with all the guys cowering in the trenches? It never works that way. You got to come out of the trench and you go confront. And how do you do that? Trust me. But I don't know what to do. Well, that's why you trust me. Right? I mean, is that complicated? But I don't know what to do. I mean, I hear people say, I don't know what to say. So what? Jesus went up on the mountain. He opened his mouth and began to teach. Did it say, he said as he was going up there, look, give me another hour or so, guys. I got to study a few things. And when I kind of have pulled it all together, we can then talk. Is that what he did? He climbed up the mountain and he opened his mouth and he began to teach. And why is it you begin to teach? Because you know God and you love the person before you. So you begin to teach. And if you screw up, and one of the things I found in the practice of law and in many things, you know, there's no faster way to learn that you're doing wrong than to do it. It's amazing how when you do that which is wrong, you figure out that, boy, that was wrong. Has that ever happened to you? You ever done something wrong and you didn't know it was wrong or right until you tried it? And then you found out it was wrong? And then you felt kind of low about it? But you learn something, right? You learn something. And a lot of times, you take that steering wheel Rick was talking about, you can change course. I mean, we call them U-turns when we're on a trip, right? Even Siri, who doesn't know anything, tells me to make U-turns sometimes. Right? So you can make a U-turn too. Sure, you might do it in front of everybody and everybody goes, where is he going now? A better direction than I was. You follow what I'm saying? We take ourselves too seriously about these things. We take ourselves far too seriously and we trust God far too little. It's really what it comes down to. And the one thing I will say about the line of authority and how this works, and we've hit the followers of me and all of these different kinds of things. When you see somebody else do that, which to you would have been absolutely crazy if God had showed you to do that, and you see them do it and survive to tell the tale and even good things come out of it, you know what it does? You actually find yourself doing the same unbelievably apparently stupid things. And you come out the other side and they're okay. And the reason why you do it is you're like, well, I remember Davey saying something like this. And it worked. I remember Davey doing something like this. And that person came back. I thought they were gone forever. They were so furious at him. But look, they're back and they're thankful. And so you see those kinds of things, and therefore, as the Lord guides you, you're far more open to doing those things that are counter to how you are by nature. Find yourself far more open to do them. And as you become more open to do them, you become more free. You're not bound up by all the jerky stuff you learned and everything, and you can now do it. I mean, come on. How many people been to a hospital or a doctor or whatever and maybe had them set a bone or do a little operation or give you a shot or give you some pills and stuff like that, right? I think everybody here just about's had those kinds of things. I've had, I think, all of the above. How many people would think it was a good idea to just walk up to a ganglia and go, watch this, everybody, just watch. Be gone. And it's gone. I mean, man, think, people go like 7 years of, or 10 years, you know, 10 years of medical school and then internships and all this stuff, and they can't do that. But you know what? Shay can do that. Can't you, Shay? All right, we'll let him off the hook. He's not an ordained minister yet. So we'll cut you a little slack today, Shay. But you follow what I'm saying? Anybody can do that. I mean, is there a person here who's not capable of doing that? Let's see another one. Let's find another really difficult prescription. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Wait, it can't really be that simple, can it? I mean, that's pretty stupid, isn't it? I mean, I'm going to look really stupid going up and saying something like that. Is this really that difficult? Are any of these things that difficult? Nah. So let's get out of the stinking trenches, man. I mean, that's the place where you got your head down and you see nothing but shots firing all over the place. Get up out of the trenches. What's he say? He's a shield about me. He's a mighty fortress. He's a buckler and shield to them that trust in him. So you get up out of the trenches and you go on the offensive against the enemy. That's how you win. That's how you win. I like to win. Anybody here like to lose? Done a little bit of it, maybe? So let's come up out of those trenches and go in victory. Amen?
Here I am.
hope y'all heard the words of that song. They're all washed away. I was looking for that verse where it says we wait for the hope of righteousness. Okay, and this is where we get hung up. See, we're waiting to be righteous. That ain't going to happen, folks. Okay, he's the righteous one. Just go forward in that. Amen?
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. We'll have the after meeting over here, and for you folks online, we'll be back tomorrow morning.
Afternoon.
Afternoon, excuse me. Afternoon.